We were married at St. Stephen's in Inverness, and then the reception at the Caledonian Hotel, because it was, well, it wasn't November, it was nearly winter, and by then, because my grandmother here, she died in 1950, and so there was no idea of having a reception here.
No.
And it was wonderful, because George Grant had been chauffeur to my grandmother in the early days. Mm-hmm. But of course he was called up for the wartime. But when we married, he eased himself and he kept his chauffeur's kit. And he drove me in state down to the church in grandfather's. Sit up and bake kind of car, Armstrong Sidley, and it was great fun. And then we lived in Devon for the first 7.5 years that we were married, and the first 4 children were all born down there. But Peter was the only one who was actually, after we, because grandfather was lonely, and he wanted Tony to help him about the place and to organise the syndicate for the shooting of games. Mm-hmm. So
you came back up here?
We came back up here in 1959. Mm-hmm. And then...
The big house?
Yes, we were there. And we shared the big house with grandfather. I think he had been a bit apprehensive at the idea of the funds, but it was...
4 grandchildren.
Yes.
Yeah. But, and you had a disaster to the fire.
Oh, yes, in 1955 the house burned down, but luckily it was in June 1955, and it was a chimney fire, I think, a bit... went out and it burnt the snowboard on the roof, mm-hmm. and things, and the flames went up under the slates and into the attic, and so it went from end to end in the attic, and they didn't realise what was...
Were you there at the time?
Tony and I, we had Richard and Colin at that stage, and we were cottage of grief, and I'd been hanging up the washing in the nursery. And I never looked out, and I could see a sort of glow down here. And grandfather had some of the menfolk from round about used to, they were called his gang, and they used to come and help clear up wood, fallen trees, and just tidy the place and help the gardener at that time. I think it was Tuch was the gardener there. And I sort of said, in a gang, we're working late. And then Mum came to look and see, and then suddenly there was a woof of flame. Mum said, "My gosh, it's the house." And so she got into her car, Tony got into his car, and I couldn't leave the children. And so I said, the night I could see the flames climbing higher and higher, and didn't know what was going to be seen by the morning. And the distillery sent their fire engine down, and they put a hose in the loch, did what they could, but it was that we had a long dry spell, and there was a hot wind blowing, and flames were going horizontally towards the river.
And your grandfather?
He was fine, he was there, and he had visitors staying, yes. And
he had visitors too?
Yes, he had an old couple staying. And they were sort of throwing their belongings out the window of the third bedroom and things like that. But because it had started in the roof, and when the floor gave way, everything came down the staircase, mm-hmm. into the front hall, and then went sideways into the sitting room.
And what time of day was this?
Oh, 10 o'clock at night. Winnie, who used to help. Yes.
Winnie Dickner.
Yes, yes, yes. And Winnie had been gone up to pull curtains and turn down the beds and things. And she came down and she said, "Excuse me, Colonel, I think the water tank's boiling." And grandfather went up and opened the attic door and was met by flames. And so he called for the fire brigade and things. And Mum, when she saw the flames... she went to the telephone, I think, and she sort of, it was Mrs. Ross answering on her switchboard at the time, and she said, "Is there anything, a miss down at the big house, and she said, "Oh, well, Mrs. Boonlach, the Colonel has sent for the fire brigade." So that it was awful coming down the next day and seeing it, because it was all this end had the tidy end had gone, and they managed to stop it before it got into the kitchen and the staff bedrooms and things. The broken glass and the half-burnt curtains flapping at the windows and heaps of, because there were slates and everything had come down off the roof. Yes. And there were half-burnt things. If something had gone, it didn't matter, but half-burnt things, you know, you didn't know whether to keep them and try and repair them or not. No dogs lost, no people lost, and my grandfather came up to spend a few days with Mum, and they were down each day trying to see what they could save. And then he took up residence in the butler's cottage, and he was there on the spot. And the lawns were mown, and the garden was everything. And then suddenly you saw the empty house. It was rebuilt. The first architect wasn't quite up to scratch, and so it was 2 years before they started. But it was amazing how the sycamore seedlings had taken root on the windowsills, on the burnt wood and things, and on the floor. Nature was just taking over in that time. Very interesting, because it was an old house. The original house, the McBains had it, and they got their charter in 1639, and it was just the centre bit, which it was just a plain little modest laird house, and then later on they built extra bits, but the partitions between the bedrooms upstairs, they fell flat, and they were wattle and daub with lime wash and rushes, and where you could see and the withies. One wouldn't have known, seen that. No, and it was rebuilt on the same footprint, but it didn't have. There had been two sort of small bedrooms up in the attic for overflow of grandchildren or whatever. And things, but we didn't, that wasn't replaced, and the kitchen end was narrow, brought in a bit, so it was a sort of slightly smaller house. But it's funny because I can remember it all so clearly. The thing I really miss most of all was pictures, because with the way the fire was going, we didn't want anybody until the roof came in. They didn't know if the bedroom floors would hold. And things, and then they went in and they fetched out various bits and pieces, and out through the drawing room windows onto the gravel, onto the lawn.
Well, it would have been a very dangerous situation.
It could have been
to go in for the paintings.
Yes, and things. There was one gorgeous one up on the stairs. There would have been time, but nobody's life would was worth it, and things. And there were pictures, but it wasn't. We were just very, very lucky.